It's revival time across the nation and around the world. Around the world, the Assemblies of God presents Revival Time with the Reverend C.M. Ward, the Revival Time Choir, and your narrator, Lee Schultz. This full gospel broadcast originates each week at this same time. This service is coming to you from Colon, Panama, Central America. And now as we join in honoring Christ our Savior with millions around the world, it's Revival Time everywhere. Your Bible has some startling things to say about world events that are taking place right now. It describes what is happening in the Middle East, Europe, and even here in the Americas. Perhaps you have not been able to identify these passages of Scripture. In the 1974 Revival Time Prophecy newspaper, C.M. Ward helps you to see how your Bible and current events fit together. You'll read articles about the prophecy of the oil crunch, the struggle in the Middle East, Europe's economic woes, Arab power in 1974, and there are others you must read. Yes, it's all in a tabloid-sized newspaper, beautifully illustrated with graphs, photographs, and cartoons to make it easy to read and understand. You can secure a free gift copy of the Prophecy newspaper by writing to Revival Time, Springfield, Missouri, USA.
And doubt come against your mind, has your faith been sorely tried? Lift up your eyes, here cometh your help. It is Jesus for you, he has died.
Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus.
Let faith arise in your soul.
Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will make you.
Let faith arise in your
Radio Evangelist C.M. Ward is ready to share more Revival Time news and testimonies with you.
This service comes to you from the nation of Panama. The Revival Time team with Brother McClellan and many members of the Singing Evangelists are here with us at the invitation of Assemblies of God missionaries and preachers working in this nation. I've been here before and dearly love hundreds of Panama Revival Time friends. Great spirit-filled churches are growing in Panama. Others are being pioneered in all parts of this strategically important nation. Our singing evangelists have been employed daily, moving house to house in some of the larger cities. And then they appear with us at rally services at night, both indoors and outdoors. And your support of these backup campaigns for our missionaries is so greatly appreciated. These victories are recent. Sharon Howard, there at Muskogee, Oklahoma, is thankful. I knelt at the long, long altar for the salvation of Joe Davidson. He was saved March 17th of this year. Mrs. Eva Statton of 2525 7th Avenue, New York, New York, testifies, "I brought one of my dearest friends to your altar. She was sick with tuberculosis, and God delivered her at your altar." This service and these ministries are the Lord's. They are His exclusively. We are His servants, His tools. The Spirit is using the Revival Time Prophecy newspaper tabloid. Mighty pivotal moves have been accomplished in less than a year. Action has passed from the Nile and the Suez to Mount Hermon and Syria. Read Ezekiel 38 again and place your finger on Ezekiel's phrase, "the mountains of Israel," and Russia is locked into the struggle. There's always the more sure word of prophecy. The man on your street feels this. He's hungry for information. We can put it in your hand and give it to him. Now, this year's colorful edition of the Revival Time Prophecy newspaper tabloid answers this question: what does the Bible say about these strange international developments? It tells you what part they are playing in God's master plan for the ages. And you can make arrangements with this service for as many as 5,000 copies for house-to-house distribution in your community. They will attract attention. Direct your letters of fellowship, comment, and support to this broadcast pulpit, Revival Time, Springfield, Missouri. Ask for the Prophecy newspaper. Eli Ings meets with us as Revival Time reaches Notre Dame Bay, Newfoundland, Canada. This grateful husband has been blessed by the healing of his wife. Brother Ward, 5 years ago you prayed for her. She had been stricken and was thin, a feeble 98 pounds. You sent her a Bible marker with the words, "The battle is the Lord's. We believe with you now. My wife is living in good health and enjoying normal weight. It has been the hand of Jesus." Your support sends this deliverance to the captive. It is the greatest investment you can ever make of your money. You make it possible to change lives and conditions, and God will honor your service to Him now and through eternity. I promise you from the Word. So God bless you and God love you for your faithful offerings sent this way to Revival Time, Springfield, Missouri. It's time to hear a great crowd of Panamanians lead out in praise to our Savior. Pick up the words from our Panama brothers and sisters. These folk love to sing, and the team has been thrilled with their fellowship and witness in these days of ministry with them. Brother McClellan is on this Panama platform, and he's asking for the opening notes to Blessed Assurance in English and Spanish. And whoever you are and wherever you are, we love you. So let everybody sing.
Praising
Revival Time Choir, under the direction of Cyril McClellan, sings At the Cross.
Paul is the evangelist. Every evangelist wants to be and should be. He is always the persuader. He preached as an attorney, presenting his closing arguments before a jury. Paul knew evidence and he knew how to use it. He came to Lystra. They neither knew Jewish tradition nor the literature of the advanced Greeks. Paul started elsewhere. He speaks from that revelation of God whose line has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. The facts of everyday life anywhere are stubborn facts. They won't go away. God is so interwoven into this planet that such testimony cannot be erased. The Bible interlocks into this testimony. Christ constantly referred to this interlocking testimony. He directs attention to lilies, mustard seed, weeds, the harvest. He says these everyday residents are preachers. He says that every day these things happen. Now, more than any other preacher of record, Jesus lived close to nature. He respected the truths nature evangelizes. He applied the lessons nature teaches. You cannot deny the Bible without denying nature. And when you accept the miracle and mystery, you accept the message and meaning of the Bible. Paul made this appeal. He asked his audience to look from the known to the unknown. He asked them to support a step of faith upon a foundation of what was already evident. He said, somebody cares, and he cares about you. First, the provision of nature proves God's existence and God's hand in the affairs of mankind. I have heard sneers. Sneers are not arguments. They are default, the inability to cross-examine effectively. They are the tardy and cheap resort of those who have no argument. You cannot sneer the witness of design away, Mr. College Student. I admit it is not always wisely presented. God is more than a plant superintendent of some giant machine shop, and God is more than a super mechanic. Nevertheless, there is evidence beyond reasonable doubt that there is thought behind creation. Thought requires mind, and mind requires a person. And if I have a God at all, my God thinks. The pattern open to investigation on unending scrutiny bears witness to sanity, not imbecility. There is planning, not guessing. Now, you and I have no right to reason whether or not the wondrous and complicated adaptations of nature are happenstance. I accept the simplicity of, and God said, and it was so. Will you substitute a satisfactory cause for authority? The potential for misdirection is frightening, yet I dwell in the midst of endless harmonies. The astronomer is able to predict an eclipse with minute accuracy. The farmer sows with assurance that what he puts down will come up multiplied, yet the vagaries of circumstance and opposing forces would make a mockery of these assurances were not authority present. There is a great maestro at the podium, able to command message, harmony, cadence, and determination from what might be a welter of sounds. There cannot be a symphony without a conductor, and the conductor disciplines the forces present to present what the composer has created. Mister, there is a composer and there is a conductor, and I say this to you, the man is without excuse who can look at this masterpiece of thought and say, there is no thinker behind it all. Now, Paul believed it and preached it. He made it his approach at Lystra. He says to these citizens that someone arranged food, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Food, mister, is an argument everyone understands. It's basic. Let's look for a moment at our seasons, determined by climate. Their manifold effects are produced by the inclination of the axis of the earth at an angle of 23.5 degrees to the plane of its orbit. Supreme authority has decided this angle. There cannot be a variable. Now, what would happen if there were no such inclination? Instead of cursing or filling yourself with booze or drugs or venereal disease or lies, why don't you ask qualified scientists what would happen if there were no such inclination? Consult the academic if you have a loathing for the clergy. But don't be stupid. Ask. Ask what would happen if the angle were changed ever so slightly. There are answers. I wouldn't choose hell if I were you until I had examined the options. Oh, yes, there is plenty of ground for faith. Get out your slide rule. Call in the mathematician. Consider that in the production of every ear of corn and every production of every apple, there is a mathematical balancing of forces of gravitation and life. So that the vital force may be able to overcome the force of gravitation and shoot forth the stock or the tree to the proper height necessary for fruit bearing. Who decides these dimensions, these distances? Why do apples have to hang at a certain height? What conditions of exposure are necessary? The arrangements are eternal and they are perfect. He who made the universe upholds it by the word of his power. Nature is God's instrument. You see his imprint. Seek and ye shall find. The volume of testimony and miracle we call nature speaks truly of him and no other. And that is why it obeyed him at Cana, and water turned to wine. The sandwiches obeyed him and multiplied. The waves obeyed him and furnished a path for his feet. Second, the fruitful seasons are proof of God's love and goodness toward mankind. Paul told the public at Lystra, and fruitful seasons filling our hearts with food and gladness. I know what covers the front page. There are the heartbreaks of robbery, desertion, dishonesty, vulgarity, and loneliness. But the world is full of happiness as well. Preachers get like journalists. They seldom report it. It isn't news. It doesn't sell like sin, but it's there, sir, a lot of it, in whatever direction you look. Oh, yes, somebody up there, sir, makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Somebody loves you. That is the message that is transmitted through every blade, every ray, every atom, every pore. And if you get any other message, you don't read well. Nothing shows the hardness of men's hearts more than the way in which they appropriate the bounties of God without any recognition of the giver. You don't even offer grace at mealtime. So what will you say at judgment? I'll tell you a simple fact of life, sir. When harvest stops, everything stops. How careful, Christian, we should be not to squander these blessings to fulfill selfish lusts. These blessings are given like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to use and not to abuse. We are anointed for service, and we are prospered for the same reason, for service. Too many professors of religion today are feverishly building barns and storing goods for their souls. Happiness isn't in keeping, happiness is in sharing. The Creator might have made our food insipid, to taste bad, like medicine. He might have made the strawberry an ordeal instead of a seduction. He might have made the sunset unpleasant instead of a masterpiece. He made us creatures of pleasure, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God has built into the rose, the pine, the orange, the sand dune incentives to praise him. It's all there. The testimony is voluminous. And third, this witness, though valuable, is after all very imperfect. There is a superior theology to natural theology. Paul, in another field of evangelism, speaks of the times of this ignorance. They were centuries when mankind had only the shadow of Calvary. The Word had not yet become flesh. We live with a fuller revelation. The New Testament has been approved and published. Jesus is a fuller revelation than the robin, the apple, the butterfly, the piece of coal can ever be. Golgotha is love in full bloom. It is God reaching toward me with heart breaking and a thrust that says, "Come unto me, weary and heavy laden." God's greater work is in his only begotten Son, Jesus of Nazareth. His perfection exceeds the most brilliant sunrise, the filmiest sperm, the intricate design of a snowflake, the miracle of a head of wheat, and the rule of pregnancy. Jesus Christ is the perfect testimony without a flaw. Mankind has been given 2,000 years to examine this testimony. Of him it may be said, by whom all things were made, and without whom was not anything made that was made. Creation demanded his approval. It had to reflect his glory. It had to speak honestly and forthrightly of him. It does today. So to the eyes of faith, the daily bread is a symbol of him who is the bread. Paul wrapped this home to his evangelistic audience with powerful argument. Nevertheless, he says, he left not himself without a witness, and I would respect that witness if I were you, sir. Before I had to appear in court, there's a powerful case either for you or against you. Now the long, long altar starts this service in the nation of Panama, in Central America. Hundreds of Revival Time witnesses surround the pulpit, and the Spirit of God has visited this republic. And we reach in these moments towards you. I'll wait as you come in the next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for you.
Hundreds of Assemblies of God missionaries in better than 80 nations on earth are kneeling at the long, long altar. The power and authority of this fellowship challenges every stronghold of darkness. You mean more and more to my spiritual welfare. I count on this knee drill, as the Salvation Army friends describe it. We venture into victory unlimited. Thousands of miles away, Mrs. Linda M. Martin, there at Route 4, Box 512, Granite Falls, North Carolina, is kneeling with us. Brother Ward, your printed ministry, I was sick. Had more for my soul than any other message to cross my path in 14 years of invalid suffering, imprisoned by rheumatoid arthritis. You have helped me so much, and I would like my friends to read it, but I dare not lose the single copy I possess. You who enjoy the priceless gift of health, pray with us as we share with those who are asked to glorify Jesus in their infirmities. Jesus, our omniscient leader, we praise thee for heroes and heroines of endurance among us who serve thee in triumph in the midst of physical weakness. These are honored members of the household of faith to which we belong, and I ask for a very special revelation of thy love and thy purpose for their lives to them. We respect their position with thee, that inner circle of thy passion and surrender. Make this long, long altar significant. Touch lives here as they have never been touched before. And above all, work in us to will and to do of thy good pleasure, so that mankind may note that we have been with thee. Amen. These are the moments when I could linger. The songwriter described it correctly, sweet hour of prayer. Move in the Spirit of God with me. By faith, see what I see and feel what I feel. I seek only those signs following that Jesus said would confirm the preaching of his word. So at this altar, almost lost to sight, never realizing that the Master has chosen her to be his designated vessel of care, the particular object of his graciousness. A dear woman with more birthdays now than she cares to remember is facing one of the dread moments of life. In which direction will she turn? She neither wants to be a burden or embarrass her family, and yet she is brokenhearted to close her home and enter a nursing home. It seems so impersonal, so she must find strength. And this is that moment when the Comforter is coming to you, dear sister in Jesus, and is flooding your soul with quietness and confidence, and all fear is gone, It is the peace that Jesus gives. Yes, this is the meeting. The Holy Spirit, who is always chairman, called these moments into session here in the nation of Panama. We are the honored guests of thousands of friendly Panama people and preaching to great crowds in their midst. These are revival days, so extend hands of Spirit-filled ministries toward us and we will exchange with you. And together let's spread the word that it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You have